Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Washington Heritage Museums this morning. And Darren and Chuck Fennell in this morning to talk about Washington Heritage Museums. Good to have both of you here this morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
We have a lot to talk about, but especially with 4th of July and just so many 4th of July things. And Darren, I will say that one of my favorites, if not favorite, 4th of July or any holiday event is every 4th of July, the reading of the Declaration of Independence, and you're doing it again tomorrow.
Yeah, so it is also one of my favorites and quite possibly my favorite. It's moving to hear the words. It's moving to see so many people so interested in it, taking pictures, mm-hmm. videotaping, 'cause that indicates to me a real level of interest in listening to it and taking in the whole experience. People come and they're dressed in their red, white, and blue and just joining us on the sidewalk. Some stay for a portion of it. Some stay for the whole reading. But regardless, it's just so interesting. It's families. It's older people. It's, young professionals. Mm-hmm. It's really everybody in Fredericksburg is welcome to this event.
I was kind of like you. I remember the first year you did it and wondering, I wonder who will come.
Yeah, we didn't quite know what to expect.
Yeah, because you and I stood together that day, and it was and you just said, I'm as clueless as anybody of who will be here. And it was packed.
Yeah, it was, because it's very different than any of our other events.
Yeah.
It's not something that you have to buy a ticket for. It's not something that you have to pre-register for. And so that first year, we kind of threw it to the wind to see what would happen. Wasn't sure if it was something we would repeat, but we've been doing it year after year since. And every year, the crowds just keep growing. The first year, we only had 2 time slots.
I thought you added one, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it became very clear that we needed to do 3.
Yeah, so it's at 11, 1, and 3.
Correct.
In front of the apothecary shop.
Yes. And then between those events, down at the Rising Sun Tavern, we have kind of a family fun day at noon and 2. And they do read aloud stories for kids and other historic activities down there. And again, that's a free event. It takes place in the area behind the tavern. Just family fun.
To be able to do these events on 4th of July, just to me, that's what makes Fredericksburg so terrific, that to do this right here where it all happened.
Absolutely. People over the years, the saying Fredericksburg, America's most historic city, comes and goes. And, there's other cities that could probably also lay claim to that. Certainly, without a doubt, Fredericksburg is one of the most historic cities.
Yeah.
And so much happened here. It might not have been the biggest events, but it's the families that led up to those big events. I mean, with George Washington being from here, mm-hmm. being raised by Mary Washington, Charles Washington being a signer of the Leedstown Resolves. I mean, there's just so much history here.
And I always say that if the walls could talk at the Rising Sun Tavern, the conversations back in colonial times that were had, and the people that passed through here.
Yes. So actually, during colonial times, it was still the home of Charles Washington, but not long after the Revolution, so 1790s, it opened as a tavern then. But that's still those formative years for the nation, and at that point, taverns were kind of the news hubs.
Right. That's, yeah.
Yeah. In a day before, social media, and that's kind of where you learned your news.
Now, it is. You take a look at everything with Mary Washington and the Mary Washington House. I mean, you can have a great day downtown tomorrow and take in a lot of history and just feel like, you know, you were there.
Absolutely. And doing this at the Humercer Apothecary Shop, doing the reading there, it is true that General Mercer died, you know, not getting to see his country be a free country. But I also think it's very appropriate to have it there because he did give that last full measure of sacrifice.
You can also sign you can sign the Declaration of Independence too, which is fun.
Yes, I think it's neat for you know, we see a lot of young kids signing it, mm-hmm. which I think is very neat. They're learning a little bit more than it's a way of reinforcing what they've learned in school.
I don't think I'd ever heard or even read the whole Declaration of Independence until I heard it on 4th of July, thanks to Washington Heritage Museums. And boy, it's a document that you hear it spoken, and it fits in today.
It still resonates.
Yeah.
It absolutely does. It is a living document. And you think about how the words were put together back then, the foresight of the people that wrote that.
To know about things. Yeah.
And to see, have that vision of where they wanted the country to go, what the principles were that it stood for, or what they wanted it to stand for. It is just remarkable that here we are, you know, 250 years plus, and, you know, it's still relevant today. Absolutely.
And we'll get into this as we go along this morning, but Chuck, it does occur to me as we start talking about this, and just think about 4th of July, and you just think of places like Washington Heritage Museums and the board, the raising the money, the things that you do to keep all of these sites going and relevant, and we're fortunate that everything didn't just, you know, that there have been groups and people that saw the importance of all of these sites.
Well, we go back to the ladies' groups.
Yeah.
You know, 100%, it's the ladies that saved these most historical sites in the city.
Yeah.
Because they had opportunities to save Mary Washington House. The gravesite of Mary Washington was actually put up for sale, you know, and they rallied
how can that happen?
Well, it's just amazing when you start digging into it. And, you know, it's the ladies that raised the funds, went across the country for the monument and the caretaker's lodge. Again, it's the first monument to a woman by women.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think we're very fortunate to have the sites that we have, you know. But thanks to those women, again, that saw what the importance was. Had they not taken up the flag for Mary Washington House, it would have been disassembled, taken to Chicago for the expedition.
That's an amazing story.
The likelihood that it would have returned was probably fairly low. So again, they understood the importance of keeping it here in Fredericksburg.
Yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, the people today, you know, we are doing a lot of fundraising for all of our properties. And I've said before, and I think this is going to be something that I will keep saying, it's very important to raise the money to do the work that we need to do, but it's not for us. Yeah. It's for the generations to follow us so that we can talk again, just as we did this past May, 130 years later, about the monument, about the Caretaker's Lodge, about Meditation Rock. You know, it's something that we have to look forward to, you know, forward as a vision of what we want these places to be in another 100 years, 130 years, so that we don't lose the history and the importance of these sites. You know, and it all comes down to our membership, the generous people that help us, and the volunteers that help us. Because a lot of the things that we get accomplished are accomplished by the volunteers that come in and help us. You look at all the properties that we have. Every Tuesday, 10 a.m., show up to Mary Washington House, bring your gardening tools, and we'll find something for you to do. Yeah, guaranteed. And we do work around at the other sites, St. James House, the Apothecary. Actually, we've been very fortunate to work with the Master Gardeners group. They've helped us out quite a bit down there cleaning up and rejuvenating that site. But again, the lodge and property up at the monument. So yeah, we have plenty of opportunities, as I like to say, to come in and volunteer.
You said that's on Tuesdays.
On Tuesdays.
Tuesdays.
Yep.
And
okay.
Actually, it's been so hot they've been meeting at 9 a.m.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. We're talking Washington Heritage Museums this morning. Chuck Fennell and Darren here this morning. Much more to talk about. We'll get into some other things this morning, too. But again, the reading of the Declaration of Independence at 11, 1, and 3 tomorrow downtown. And you will not, as Chuck was talking about for future generations, Anna, one of the other things that I thought of is, who knows, you're going to have kids who come to that who someday will be able to say, I heard the Declaration of Independence read in Fredericksburg.
Yes.
On 4th of July.
Yes.
It's really.
And eventually they'll take their kids.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a great, 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 great event. More coming up on News Talk 1230 WFVA. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230. You can weigh in about today's topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230 and by text at 540-371-5756. Here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Washington Heritage Museums this morning, washingtonheritagemuseums.org, the website to get all kinds of information. And there's a Facebook page, too, that talks about all the things we're talking about. Chuck Fennell is chairman of the board, and Darren here, the executive director with the Washington Heritage Museums. The Caretaker's Lodge, every time I haven't been in it, I've seen some pictures on Facebook of how it has changed, Dan, since you and me, we did a video a year and a half ago, walked around when you were first starting things. But boy, that whole area is just totally changed on Washington Avenue, the Caretaker's Lodge and the Mary Washington Monument. That area, it just doesn't look like it did a year or so ago.
No. So when we received the property, there was, well, I heard it referred to on a garden show, not about our site, but about a different one, as an overly mature garden. And I thought, well, that describes what we were facing, because the ivy was so overgrown that it had overtaken the brick wall surrounding the entire property, pretty much. The trees were so overgrown, the shrubs, that you actually couldn't even see the lodge itself from Washington Avenue, even from across the street. Neighbors remarked they couldn't see it from their second story.
The Caretaker's Lodge, just the brick and everything. It was right. Just overwhelmed.
Yeah. So on the outside, I mean, the monument was visible from Washington Avenue. That's the great news. But the lodge, our volunteers did just an amazing job transforming that site. Literally the day after we received the property, Chuck Fennell and Alma Withers were out there ceremonially cutting the ivy from the wall. To be able to show, it was January, it was really, really cold, but we wanted to, put it out there that we were really going to take care of this site. And I will say, Chuck mentioned the volunteers at the Mary Washington House, most of whom also did a lot of the work at the lodge. It is a small but mighty bunch, but it could certainly use extra hands if there's folks that have an interest in gardens. Maybe they had a garden once, but they now live where they don't have the ability to garden.
Yeah.
Golly, almost anybody can pull weeds.
And what a difference that kind of thing makes.
It really does. Because we have the one gardener, well, he just can't do it all himself. It's not physically possible.
Yeah.
But with the help of these wonderful volunteers, it magnifies what he's able to do, tenfold.
Yeah, and inside the lodge itself, I would say dramatic difference too.
Yes.
Yeah, from what we started with, carpeting on the floors that was a little worn.
Right. Dated.
Yep. So, and just like anybody else's home, it needs some maintenance and upkeep. We've gotten the carpeting out of there. We did find the original hardwood floors. Unfortunately, they were in pretty rough shape. And we've been able to save a landing at the bottom of the stairwell and at the top of the stairwell. And we've highlighted where we believe a bookcase and a window seat were once in place.
Huh.
Because you could tell by the sanding of the floor. The rest of the floors, we laid over new hardwood. The main room downstairs, unfortunately, was just plywood was what we found underneath the carpeting. So that's been replaced with new hardwood floor. The interior has been painted. Mentioned again, volunteers through Simventions helped us with that, not only financially but provided their employees for a day last fall to come in and help paint the inside of the lodge. We've had some trim work done once the flooring was finished up, the professional trimmed to make sure we got that right. Again, maintenance in the house. We've updated the bathrooms, and we're getting a little bit closer to getting ready to move in. Offices will be moved in on the upstairs floors out of St. James House, and then we're going to start doing business out of there. And ground penetrating radar work continues. We hope to have reports by end of summer, exactly what's been found, identify some spots so that we can move forward into the landscape architect work and putting in the pathways for those folks that have limited mobility to make sure that they can get to the lodge, get to Meditation Rock, get to the monument. We're still in developmental plans for the self-guided tour that we're going to be putting into what we call the Connecticut Room in the lodge. So that's still things that we're working with through our committees and obtaining information and materials. For those folks that happened to be at our event on May 5th, we had some people that donated for the day some wonderful artifacts from the original dedication, medals, ribbons, and pieces of the original monument. Because again, the one that you see there today is actually the second monument. Just some things that we think are going to be able to help put that self-guided tour together for us and make it relevant, again, just so that the people understand exactly what happened up there.
What's so interesting is it was a year or two ago, maybe the first time that you'd ever come in, Chuck, when we did a show, and you just explained and really opened my eyes of just the significance of this site and why it made sense for Washington Heritage Museums to take it over. I mean, initially, I remember thinking when it first came up and City Council talked about it, I thought, well, of course. But you all did an exhaustive study on could you do this and should you do this. And
right.
Really, you have really, at every step of the way, this is there's a plan here.
We like to think so. Sometimes plans change.
Sure.
But
yeah.
I think that the foundation that we put together, ensuring that this piece of property and the sites on the property fit into the mission, that was key to us.
Yeah.
It really was. So we can see how the story moves along. And, from Mary spending days walking over to Meditation Rock, either just to pray or to read to her grandchildren. So that's the story that we're going to be blending together.
Yeah.
And, it's just something that it makes sense to us. It made sense to us when we decided to pursue it. And I believe, again, the plan is working along that the story is the right place to have it. One of our board members mentioned that Washington Heritage Museums has stewardship over the most historical sites in the city of Fredericksburg.
Exactly.
And that's something that didn't really click, at least for me. I'm a slow learner, but it was one of those things that the magnitude now is, wow.
Yeah.
So we do have a lot of responsibility to make sure that we're telling the stories properly. And it's, history is history. Good history, bad history, but we need to tell the story to make sure that the full story, to make sure that everybody's included.
Well, and you're able to tell a story of Mary Washington that it adds another. It's there's another scope of Mary Washington. It's not that she this is where she lived and George came to visit her and she died here, but you're able to tell more of her life in Fredericksburg.
Absolutely, and you know, again, we have documentation that shows that, you know, with the upcoming event with Lafayette, Lafayette came to visit her.
Yeah.
Lafayette went to visit her gravesite and noted that, boy, it's not in the greatest shape, even back then.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's sort of where we are today of trying to make sure that we understand exactly where she's buried up there.
Isn't that interesting, too, though, that you know, not only you mentioned just a second ago that, you know, that was at one time for sale,
yep.
But you know, that whole area should be it should be well taken care of, and there should be stories told, and people are going to want to come here to visit it.
Yeah, and I think the other thing that's surprising, at least to us, because we didn't appreciate how many people actually come there on a day in and day out basis. But the more time we spend up there doing the work on the property, you know, the gardens and interior, it's surprising how many people actually come up to the monument. So I think if we can, or when we get it prepared with the museum in the Connecticut room and have some signage on the property, all we're anticipating is increase of visitations to the site.
Oh, I would think so.
It seems to be a lot of mothers and children, which I think is really appropriate.
Yeah.
You know, and there may be some people who come to Fredericksburg not and may wonder, why is there a Mary Washington Hospital? Why is there a University of Mary Washington? Why Mary Washington everywhere?
Mm-hmm.
And I would say the answer is, you know, she raised George Washington in a time that it was difficult for her to do so. She was a young widow, 35 years old, with these children to raise, the oldest of which was 11. She had the help of enslaved workers, but managing the farm, the management of it was her responsibility, and seeing to the care of her children and raising them in such a way that one of them ended up becoming our first commander-in-chief. That's something worth honoring. That, yeah. I mean, that happened right here in this area. And, you know, Fredericksburg is where she spent the last 17 years of her life. So, and I would say none of these things that we've talked about happen without the support of a generous community and state. And I would say, you know, whether you are or are not able to participate in July 4th activities tomorrow, one thing you can do is send in a donation to the monument.
Yeah.
What wonderful way.
Hold that thought, because we're going to come back and talk about that, about financially getting involved and also just being able to, you know, whether it's gardening or doing other things, getting involved in volunteering. We'll talk about that when we come back with Chuck Fennell and Darren here this morning on Town Talk, Washington Heritage Museums, washingtonheritagemuseums.org. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It is 8:31.
From the Fredericksburg.today online news studios, this is News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station focused on Fredericksburg. This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
It is Washington Heritage Museums this morning. Good stuff with Ann Darren and Chuck Fennell from Washington Heritage Museums. WashingtonHeritageMuseums.org is the website. And just before the break, you were just talking, Ann, about financially, and there are all kinds of ways that people can get involved financially. And when you think about it, and you just think of the sites that you have, the Mary Washington House, the Rising Sun Tavern, the Apothecary Shop, the Caretaker's House and the Monument, and St. James House.
Yeah.
That's the one. The St. James House is the one place, and you've invited me many times to come on by. I have never been to there. But like Chuck said, there's history at these places, and to get involved financially is really a chance to become to help preserve and move ahead with a lot of these sites.
Absolutely. So I do think it's important for us to note that we are a nonprofit organization, and I know a lot of times people think that these historic sites in whether it's Fredericksburg or any city that we receive loads of funding from the city, and that's not the case. These are privately owned by the nonprofit, and so it does take support from the community, from corporations, from small businesses, and from foundations to help preserve these sites for years to come. And for the monument specifically, as I say, what a wonderful time, 4th of July. What a great time to make a donation to that campaign. We currently have a capital campaign on for that site. We anticipate that it's going to take altogether about $1.6 million to do everything that we need to do at the monument. Not perpetually, that's to take care of what we need to take care of now. And for that campaign, we're about halfway there.
Okay.
And we would love to not only meet that goal of $1.6 million, but golly, if we could exceed it, wouldn't that be even better? Just think of what we could do, because then we'd also be set for years to come.
And this is a giving community.
This is
history. This is what we're all, like we've said, this is what we're all about.
Absolutely. And right now there is a match on for gifts to that campaign. The campaign co-chairs, Kelly Johnson and Rennie McDaniel, and the honorary chair, Gail Braxton, have put up a match for that. So right now, all gifts up to an aggregate of $75,000 will be matched. And what a great opportunity. That means that if you give $100, the gift essentially is
$200.
So it's a great time to give. Between tomorrow being the 4th of July and between this match, like, there's just no better time. And do we need the big gifts? Yes. But do we also need the small gifts? Absolutely. Because, you know, you combine some of those small gifts and all of a sudden it starts really adding up.
Yeah.
So people can go onto our website to WashoeheritageMuseums.org, but then the Join Support tab, and that's one way they can support our organization. Donations in general to operating are always welcome. And if people want to support operations, another great way to do that is through our Bourbon and Boxwood event that is coming up on September 28th. For businesses, what a great way to get your name out there in front of the community.
And show the community that you're
absolutely standing
behind Washington Heritage Museums.
Yes. We have been blessed with good community support, good business support, but we do find with the addition of another site, we're having to reach a little bit further this year and broaden that support. We have sponsorships beginning at $500, so at a very affordable rate, on up from there to some of our bar sponsorships are, you know, significantly more than that. But again, if you're a business, you're getting your name in front of so many people.
And this is a big, huge event.
It is. You know, we talked about the Declaration of Independence. When we first did Bourbon and Boxwood, we thought, I wonder if we'll do this again next year. You know, this was before the event. And then afterwards, we were like, we need to do this again next year.
Well, it generally sells out, too. I mean, if you're interested in this, usually, if you don't get tickets right away, you're often, it's too late.
Well, and that is the beauty. Sponsors are guaranteed tickets.
Okay.
So, that is always very helpful because then you're guaranteed your tickets right off the bat.
But it's those kind of events these events that really do raise the money. You have a great time, and
you get to hang out with everybody else from the community. I mean, it's a great, great place to see a lot of your favorite people.
So you said that is September 28th?
Yes.
September 28th is Bourbon and Boxwoods. And it's a great name for the event, and it's just a great spot, too. You pull this off.
Yeah, and we close both Charles and Lewis Streets and have the event on the streets and in the garden.
You see the Mary Washington House in a whole different way.
Absolutely. We have live music there and catering, bourbon tastings. So a great time for everyone. And
the silent auction also.
Yes, thank you. Always put together a great silent auction of unique experiences or artwork or you name it.
One of the things that that we should mention about the Mary Washington House, I've said this before, there are a lot of the historic sites. Well, all of the historic sites here have bookshops and things you can buy things and some really interesting things. The Mary Washington House, that little bookstore there is in where you can buy some things. It's really well stocked with some really interesting things. You can do a lot of holiday shopping there.
Absolutely. So we had talked about our volunteers. What most people may not realize, that store is staffed entirely by volunteers.
Really?
The buying is done by a volunteer. The volunteer coordination is done by a volunteer. That is entirely volunteer run. They put on the tea series, the tea talks. They are just amazing in that regard. And you're right. It's a great little shop to visit year-round, whether you need a hostess gift, a teacher gift, a gift for a historian. There's a gift for a gardener. There's really something for everyone in there.
You and I were getting together. We did something there, and I remember saying to you, "Hold on, I want to look around here a little bit, a little bit more," because it really is. It is really interesting.
And it's open whenever the Mary Washington House is open.
Okay.
And you don't need. This is the one thing I definitely want to point out. You don't need to pay admission to go to the museum store.
Yeah.
You can visit that at any time when the house is open, and. We are always looking for new volunteers to help out in there because occasionally somebody, you know, can't volunteer anymore. And so always on the lookout mm-hmm. for new volunteers.
Yeah. And the other thing just to mention regarding the shop is we started a little bit of an online store.
Oh, thank you for reminding
me. So that's
yeah.
something that's new. So even if you can't make it out to the shop, you can visit the store online, which is still through the main website.
Yes. Yes.
Okay, so you just go to
washingtonheritage.org,
and you can get to the gift shop. So, you know, come look and see online what we have.
Yeah. Well, you guys both of you have mentioned volunteers on a number of fronts, and whether it's the bookshop or the gardens or just grounds and, you know, on Tuesdays getting mm-hmm. together, there really are opportunities. If you're someone who's got some time or just wants to get to know people and get involved in the community, here's a great way. And yep. you're going to be what you do is really significant.
Yeah. And it is a community.
Right.
It really is. And the volunteers that come in, they work very well together. You know, they help each other. Again, whether it's the gardens or wherever in the shop, it's nice to see those relationships start up because mm-hmm. the garden group, really we lost a lot of people when everything shut down a few
it's
years
COVID,
ago.
Yeah.
And this new group that's coming in, they have this bond, if you would, that they work extremely well together.
They do.
And yeah, it's just amazing to stand back and watch them, not that we don't help, but to stand back and watch how they work together and help each other. Yeah, so it's it's nice to see, you know, and a lot of them didn't know each other when they first started. So now they've developed new friendships. What more can you ask for? You get work done, and you're working with your friends.
Yeah.
So it's all good. It really is.
So if you're interested, if you're interested in volunteering, just go to the website. Is there a spot there to?
There's actually two ways to volunteer through our website. So there's one. Suppose you're just an individual who wants to come volunteer. We have just a quick survey to figure out where to plug you in. You know, if you have an interest in gardens or what have you. But we also have a group volunteer form. So suppose you've got a scout organization or a Rotary Club or a business or a civic organization, and you want to volunteer your group, then we have a way to do that too. It's, again, just a super quick and easy form so that we can get in touch with you. And there is never a shortage of things to do, and I'm sure you could be plugged in pretty quickly.
The other thing, and it just pops into my head as you two are talking about this, to volunteer at some of these places. How cool is it to, you know, I was over at the Mary Washington House in the garden volunteering, or I was at the Monument, or at the Rising Sun Tavern. You know, all of these, as you said, Chuck, these are some of the most important landmarks around here, and to have that kind of that kind of experience at these places. It's more than just, we took a tour.
Right.
No, I volunteer there.
Yeah, and each of the gardeners have their favorite site to work in.
Yeah.
You know, given their pick, they'd go in probably five different directions. But, you know, they really enjoyed seeing the transformation up at the lodge. They can see the transformation at Mary Washington's garden. This year we happened to put in a vegetable garden behind the kitchen. So it's just a little bit different because we're going to really expand the tour up there to include how the garden fed to the kitchen, how it fed to the house. And, you know, to Ann's point, is inclusive of the people that were there working, indentured with Mary Washington.
Yeah.
So, you know, we have the names. So that's all going to be blended into the story.
Huh. Yeah.
And we just recently had work completed on the inside of the kitchen to the big chimney. To the fireplace was reworked.
Yeah.
So the covering that was on the fireplace is off. So you actually see the brick that was laid when that kitchen was built. Yeah, it's going to stay that way for a little while, decision whether we cover it back up or not. But take a peek now because you actually see the brick that were laid when that kitchen was built.
I've got to come over there.
And the other thing we're going to be doing is changing some of the artifacts that are in there so that it can be hands-on for the children, for the younger folks to come in and pick up the skillet, pick up the tools that they used so that they can actually feel what they were working with back then. And I think that's going to work well with the school tours and just for the families that come in and make it more hands-on.
I will say this. I know, and I know it. I've been on some tours and seen them, and I know a lot of the people that are involved with the tours at your sites. And boy, are they knowledgeable and enthusiastic about the history and the things that they're talking about. You are not going to find better people to take you around and answer your questions or tell you stories.
No, I would agree. I know that I am always in awe of what they can remember and accurately share. And if you ask them questions, their knowledge extends far beyond what you get in the tour, because otherwise people would still be touring 6 hours later.
Yeah, or their clothes, they work on their own time, and a lot of times I think with their own money of, you know, making sure that their clothing
costumes,
they're wearing
yeah.
is correct.
But I would say if you're there, ask them questions because, you know, there's only so much that fits in a regular tour, but their knowledge is just astounding for what all they're able to recall and share. And as you say, ask them about their costumes because for some of them, they've actually crafted them themselves, which is truly amazing.
It is, yeah. Quick break, and we'll wrap this up this morning. Great stuff, Washington Heritage Museums. We need to do this every year right before 4th of July. I don't know why we haven't. But this will become a...
this is our new tradition.
This is our new tradition to get together before 4th of July and talk about this. And Aaron is here. Chuck Fennell is here from Washington Heritage Museums, washingtonheritagemuseums.org. We'll be right back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Download the all-new News Talk 1230 WFVA app for Apple and Android. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Washington Heritage Museums on this day before the 4th of July. And Aaron and Chuck Fennell here. Before we get out of here this morning, again, the reading of the Declaration of Independence on 4th of July from at 11, 1, and 3. And it's a great, great experience.
Yeah.
In front of the apothecary.
Yes. Correct. Yes. And then between those at the tavern, we have the family fun at 12 and 2. The other thing that I meant to point out is later this month, we have Twilight History for 8 to 12-year-olds, and that is July 22nd through the 25th from 6 to 8 p.m. What a great opportunity to drop off your kiddos and go grab a dinner in downtown Fredericksburg.
Kind of like come camp.
Back. Exactly.
History camp.
Exactly. And we still have just a handful of slots. So I would say if you're interested,
okay,
don't delay. Sign up now because there's less than a handful left. It's one evening at each of our sites.
Oh, okay. Oh, what a great thing. You do something like that and you go whenever you're talking about this in school, your kids have – a little bit better understanding.
Yeah, they'll have hands-on activities.
Yeah.
They'll be churning butter, they'll be making silhouettes, they'll be making marbleized paper, you name it. They'll be doing some really fun things that are hands-on history. And as I say, you get to drop off your kid and go grab a nice dinner in Fredericksburg. Is there anything better?
No, that's a great idea. It's good. So that's Twilight History.
Yes.
Later in the month.
Yes.
So WashingtonHeritageMuseums.org for more information on that. And then, Chuck, you mentioned the group that meets on Tuesdays at the Mary Washington House to do gardening. And there are all kinds of opportunities to volunteer, whether it's this group or others.
Right. Yeah. We have plenty of opportunities to have our volunteers come in and help us. And I always say opportunities, and Ann always laughs at me because we never know what the opportunities are.
Yeah.
So it's always a good thing to figure out what we're going to be doing. So.
But ironically, that's listed as opportunities on the website. So
the capital campaign to raise $1.6 million for over at the Mary Washington Monument and the Caretaker's House, that's a big deal. And sooner you can, there are some matches, and the sooner you can get to $1.6 million, the sooner you can really start attacking that project.
Yeah. Absolutely. Because some of these things, a lot of it has been with volunteer help, but some of the things we have to do now actually require the funding for it, and they just can't happen until the funding is in place.
So there's that again. That capital campaign is underway, and you've raised about half of that $1.6 million.
Yes.
So that's encouraging.
Yes, it is. Again, it's the community.
Right.
It's the community and some grants that have come in. So, but it's we still have a ways to go. It's very encouraging that we've made it this far, and it's been kind of a quiet start. But once we get through Bourbon and Boxwood, then we're going to really ramp up the capital campaign also.
Yeah, no, that is, and any size gift, you start that the small gifts start becoming bigger gifts when you start putting them all together. So whatever you can give, if you can give a lot, give a lot.
Yeah. Right. Yeah,
but give
what
you can.
We're so thankful. Yep. Yes, give what you can. We're so thankful for everybody who has given to date, whether it's corporations, whether it's individuals, whether it's foundations. We're so thankful for that support.
And Darren and Chuck Fennell with the Washington Heritage Museum. Thank you both. You only knew about this a couple hours ago, that this was an opportunity. So I appreciate you coming in, and we'll start doing this right before 4th of July and much, much more, especially with the campaign. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
That's it. Thank you for listening. Have a great 4th of July, and we will see you on Friday.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. The Glenn Beck program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA, focused on Fredericksburg.